everyone. My name is Parker Bigley, and today I'm here with my good friend.
Hi.
Hi. And we're here to just chat. So we're going to be talking about new frontiers. We're going to be talking about neurodiversity, discovering yourself, new beginnings in college, all the silly things. So I wanted to ask a question, but I also, like, you know, wanted to talk a little bit about early adulthood cognitive development. From Introduction to Cognitive Development in Early Adulthood by Margaret Clark Plasky for Lumen Learning, from this document, I wanted to point out that Shea and Willis's stage theory of cognitive development, you know, which aligns with the time period we are in right now in our lives, proposes that during early adulthood, ages like 18 to 30, individuals are tasked with or tend to equip the resources and skills learned during the acquisition stage, which is the previous stage in adolescence and young adulthood. And we begin to further apply the skills to a broader range of topics and apply these thought processes to existing topics just in more depth. So keeping that sort of in mind, the developmental expectation of like where, what we're doing in our lives. Do you feel like your experience so far has sort of like fit with that? Do you think that it has been a place to sort of build on some of the skills that like you learned in like adolescence?
Where I am right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know. I actually feel like I forgot, like, a lot of things that, like, I, like, learned in high school and, like, whatever. Like, you get told so much stuff, like, oh, college is going to be this, that, and third. And then it's, like, you don't experience the college like you were, like, taught about.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just kind of, like, you lose all that knowledge because you're not applying it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now I just feel like I'm kind of, like, I don't know, just kind of floating, just kind of drifting.
Definitely coasting about, like, yeah. I mean, for me, I think that I have just personally had to, like, because I, you know, got an ADHD diagnosis and, like, I've been learning more about psychology and neurodiversity and, like, those are all new things to me, brand new. I don't really have that sort of understanding of those specific topics to build upon from high school. I didn't take AP psychology, although I would have... ahead of the game.
I
can't imagine
your year.
Oh my gosh.
It was like 5 years ago. So like, it's all gone.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like there, you know, there is a gap. I am sort of in terms of like what you said, in terms of like personality and like discovering yourself, not only that, but like academically, I feel like there is a gap in understandings of things. And like I'm restarting like what I want to study, like this is all sort of new stuff to me. And but I think that because of the things that I've chosen to study, because of the things that I have like, you know, found interest in terms of like neurodiversity and like culture and those sorts of things and psychology, I feel like I'm sort of combining the like personal development and the individual exploration and stuff in terms of like my neurodiversity and like what that means for myself with my like academic goals and like with that timeline. And, you know, I hope to be able to help other people to explore themselves in terms of like their neurodiversity and stuff. Real quick, I'd like to define neurodiversity for our listeners. So neurodiversity is a fairly recent concept. I think it was first brought about in like maybe the 1990s, something like that. And it was first discussed in terms of like autism. I think it was coined by like the autistic community. It's basically neurodiversity is the idea that human beings have differences, there is diversity in the different wirings between individuals and stuff. And there are, you know, majorities in wiring patterns, majorities in like patterns of behavior, all that sort of stuff. But so that's neurodiversity. It's a normal human diversity thing. Yep. And being neurodivergent is a more specific version of that. I think neurodivergent individuals are one aspect of that neurodiversity. We are, it's sort of, neurodivergence includes, you know, any like sort of psychological like disorders and stuff that differ from the general expectations of like neural wiring and stuff. So like that could be, generally it's used to refer to autism spectrum disorder, ADHD, you know, OCD, all those sorts of things. But it's being broadened, it's being like sort of opened up to more disorders, more discussions, because it's the word itself, divergence, it's just diverging from the expectation of what the norm should be. And that expectation is harmful. But I'd like to talk about neurodiversity, neurodivergence. Yeah. So how have you noticed that, like, have you noticed the topic of neurodiversity sort of coming up in the university setting? Have you noticed it more in the past, like, I know, a couple of years that you've been like studying at a university level, or like did you know about it in high school?
It's definitely like increased more like across like my time in, you know, a university setting, right? Mm-hmm. Like in high school, that wasn't like ever something that I thought about, so obviously it wasn't something that I would really pay attention to. Mm-hmm. But I think like when I got out of high school and, you know, I was into quarantine, I got exposed to a lot of different, like, things, a lot of different people, and obviously, like, with that comes, like, the discussion of neurodiversity, right? I think quarantine, for me, allowed me to, you know, self-reflect and kind of recognize, like, my own, like, placement in terms of, like, being a neurodiverse individual, mm-hmm. right? But it's definitely, like, I've definitely noticed it more, like, especially being here at JMU, like, people talk about it, you know, in terms of things being more accessible for students, because I think there's a lot, like you said, like, the expectation that there's, like, this normal way that everybody should be, that has created systems that are very unkind mm-hmm. to neurodiverse individuals. Like, the way that, like, we take tests, the way that we do assignments, the way that it's all structured, especially in, like, an academic setting. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really difficult to navigate. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's something that I always keep in mind, especially while I'm at college, because, you know, I'm supposed to be getting super great grades. I'm supposed to be doing whatever. It's like, that's what I'm here for. But, like, when there's people who think, oh, it should just be easy, because mm-hmm. it's easy for some people. It's not easy for all people. Mm-hmm. It's like, for me, it's not easy.
Yeah. I've found that a lot of people have a very like narrow mindset in terms of people's sort of mental wiring, I guess, or like neural like toolbox. And it
you got a wrench in there.
Hand me the screwdriver from the neural toolbox. So I feel like I, even in the sort of psychology classes that I've been in, and like some of the sociology classes that discuss mental health, like there is a very sort of, there's a more open attitude because it just studying it requires that. But I feel like it's definitely, there are people and professors, which gosh, the
Lord,
the barriers there.
Yeah.
We will discuss that another time, but
Stay tuned for episode 2.
Barriers in neurodiversity in the university setting.
Essentially where we air our grievances against professors and the university.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
But in terms of like students and stuff, like it seems like there are lots of people who like, you know, have certain, like especially in group work, group projects and stuff, people don't fully understand, people don't fully like allow the other group members like, I don't know, the benefit of the doubt sometimes.
Leniency.
Like, just leniency, communication. But group work is a whole nother issue. But even just, like, in certain discussions in some of my classes that discuss mental health, it's really detached. It's clear to me that they don't have a full understanding of things. And it's just, it's interesting how that translates into sort of, like, some of the systems that are set up for us as students here. Like, I have experienced a little bit of experience with ODS. I am working with a club called the Neurodiversity Celebration Collaborative. We are both working with the club now. And we're going to start, my club, is going to start, you know, partnering with ODS and the Office of Disability Services to try and sort of expand some of the resources or expand knowledge of the resources and sort of extend that to the students, because coming into college, like, you know, big transition, lots of information is thrown at you, and, you know, accommodations and sort of knowing that you have that support is a very big issue, and it's a piece of comfort and, like, it's a necessity as well that, you know, I think it's really important to make sure that students know about that. So, yeah, I found that, like, although ODS, like, does an amazing job in, like, you know, working quickly to provide accommodations for students, and, like, they do a pretty good job of, like, you know, allowing people access or, like, spreading the word about their services. But, there's sort of a disconnect between what they do and what a lot of the professors do and sort of the attitudes of the students, which ODS can absolutely not control. That's not their business. But
they have little buttons that they press.
Yeah, they can't do that. That's our job as students.
Yeah, we press the buttons.
We make the change. We do press the buttons.
Never
mind. Okay. I was going to say we are the mechanics using the toolbox.
We are the mitochondria.
Powerhousing our way
through university.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
Well, I've had a wonderful time talking with you. Yes, I'd love to do it again.
We should.
As though we don't hang out all the time.
We don't. This is actually my mortal enemy.
Yeah, sworn enemy. I'm never speaking to them again.
Steal all of her things.
Oh. Okay, you guys heard that.
No. Who said that? Was it me? Who said that?
Oh. Oh my gosh. So thank you all for listening, and yeah, stay tuned for more.
Stay curious.
Stay curious, my friends.
Yes.